The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the first chapter. John the Baptist saw Jesus coming toward him and declared, "Here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, 'After me comes a man who ranks ahead of me, because he was before me.' I myself did not know him, but I came baptizing with water for this reason, that he may be revealed to Israel." And John testified, "I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. I myself did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water said to me, 'He on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain is the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit.' And I myself have seen and have testified that this is the Son of God." The next day, John again was standing with two of his disciples, and as he watched Jesus walk by, he exclaimed, "Look, here is the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. When Jesus turned and saw them following, he said to them, "What are you looking for?" They said to him, "Rabbi," which translated means teacher, "where are you staying?" He said to them, "Come and see." They came and saw where he was staying, and they remained with him that day. It was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. One of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which is translated anointed. He brought Simon to Jesus, who looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You are to be called Cephas," which is translated Peter. The Gospel of the Lord. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. On Wednesday mornings, either Vicar Hans or I leads a chapel service for the daycare children and for the teachers. Sometimes one of two of the classes come a little early, and Hans and I are setting up or getting ready, and as we wait for the other children to come in, one of the kids will say, "Look, Pastor, I got new shoes," and I have to inspect the shoes. Or another one will say, "Look at my shirt," and I ooh and ah over all the sparkles and the glitter and everything on the shirt and the bright colors. Or someone says, "Look, I've got a tractor on my shirt," and it makes me smile because of their excitement and their joy and in talking and in the new things that they get. But adults aren't quite all that different either, are we? If you go and buy some new fancy clothes, you don't just hang them in the closet, but you wear them where other people are going to see them. Or if you get a new vehicle, you don't just park it in the garage. You go driving around town a little bit just to check it out and so other folks can see too. Or you ladies, particularly those of you who have been married, if you have been given an engagement ring, it will change your posture. You go walking around like this now. Our gospel lesson for today is much that same thing. John the Baptist is excited. Just the day before, Jesus had been baptized, and that Spirit of God came down and stayed on him, remained on him. In the form of a dove, and John knew that this was the Messiah. And so on the next day, Jesus is still hanging around, and he comes walking towards John, and John says, "Look, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." And John doesn't just stop there, but he has to tell everybody around him who this Jesus is. "I saw that Spirit of God descend upon Jesus in the form of a dove. I wasn't really sure that he was the one, but that showed it to me. He is the Messiah, the one that we have been waiting for over 100 years. He is the one, the purpose of why I am here, baptizing and preaching and getting you ready for him to come. He's here. This is the Son of God. And then again, on the next day, Jesus was walking by and two of John's disciples were with him. And he says, look, the Lamb of God. Now something sunk in with those two disciples of John. You know, maybe they had heard John talking about the coming Messiah and to repent and to get ready and to see what John had been doing. And they wanted to check it out. And so they followed Jesus. And Jesus turns around and says, what are you looking for? And they ask, where are you staying? And Jesus simply says, come and see. Come and see. And so they followed him and they stayed with him that day. And during those few hours, something happens to those two disciples that had turned and followed Jesus. They were changed. They were transformed. Their lives had been made different from anything before. Something that Jesus said, something that he did, the message that he had taught them or spoke to them, the conversation that they had, they were transformed because they were ready to follow Jesus. Jesus transforms us. He changes us. We are different people because of what Christ does for us. In our baptism, our sins are washed away. We are made new. We are transformed. We are tied to that cross and that resurrection. We are doomed otherwise. What we deserve is nothing but death and punishment. But something changes within us as Christ died for us and he rose from the dead, and as we are washed in those waters of baptism. And as we continue to live each and every day, we are transformed. We are changed in a way in which we follow Christ and we are ready to follow Christ. Then it changes everything about us. It changes the way our attitude is about life. It changes what we do in our free time. It changes our entertainment, our movies that we watch, our TV that we listen to, our perspective on politics. It changes how we deal with money and with our resources. It changes how we deal with other people and in our relationships with each other. It changes everything about us. It transforms us as it transformed these two disciples who followed Jesus. But they weren't just satisfied with being transformed. They were excited, like having new shoes or a new car or a new engagement ring. They had to go tell somebody else. And so one of these disciples ends up being Andrew, one of the disciples who becomes a disciple of Jesus then. And so Andrew runs and he has to tell his brother. He tells his brother Simon Peter to come. Come, we found the Messiah. And so he brings Peter. And Peter too is transformed. Now the other disciple here in our reading today is not mentioned by name, but it's implied that he is Philip, because the next story that follows right after the one that we read today, it starts off, Jesus decides to go to Galilee, to Bethsaida. And that is the hometown then of Andrew and Peter and Philip. And when he gets there into that region of Galilee, he finds Philip. And then Philip is excited. And Philip too can't keep it to himself, but he has to go and tell his friend Nathanael. Nathanael is a bit skeptical, but Nathanael comes anyway. And Nathanael too is transformed. Christ does change us. He makes us into new people. We are new people in God. And that's exciting. But it doesn't just stay there. It doesn't just stay there with us. There's something about that, of being changed, of being transformed, that it shows, that it has to go out, that it can't just remain within us. As Jesus ascends into heaven, he gives that great commission, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And that is exactly what these disciples do. They go out and they are excited for what they have seen and what they have heard and what has happened in their lives, and they scatter throughout the world. And because of their scattering, because of their excitement, because of their joy and in proclaiming this good news, we too receive that good news. Christianity isn't just for us. It's not made just for us personally, but it is made to be shared. There was a little boy who went to a new Sunday school class, and after Sunday school class, his mom asked him, "How was class? Who was your new teacher?" And the little boy says, I'm not sure what my teacher's name was, but I think she was the grandma of Jesus." His mom was a little bit concerned with that answer, and she says, "What do you mean she was the grandma of Jesus?" And the little boy says, "Jesus was all that she talked about." As Christians who are excited and who are filled with faith, that is what we talk about. That is how we express ourselves. Maybe not in words constantly, but at least in our actions and in the way that we conduct ourselves. It has changed us. It's given us a new outlook. It's given us a new look on life. And we want to spread that. I like to ask people sometimes, and maybe you've heard me ask this before, what's the purpose of an apple tree? The most obvious answer or the most common answer is, well, to produce apples. Well, an apple tree does that, but that's actually not its main purpose. And so people think again and they think, well, maybe it's to provide shade, you know, and that's true. An apple tree will provide shade and it feels nice on a hot day to be able to sit under the shade of a tree and feel that breeze blowing. But that's not the purpose of an apple tree. So people think again and they say, well, it's to provide a home for the birds and for other animals. And that's true. Birds will build nests, or squirrels will find a nest as well up in an apple tree. But that's not its purpose either. And so we think again, well, it's to provide wood. Well, an apple tree does provide wood, and I don't know if any of you have ever barbecued or smoked with apple wood, but it does give that food a very good flavor. But that's not the purpose of an apple tree either. The purpose of an apple tree is to make more apple trees. It needs that root system and that trunk, that structure of wood to support the leaves, which makes home for the animals, so that the leaves can produce, change the sunlight into energy, into food, so that it will produce apples, which encases the seeds. People or animals take those apples, and the seeds then are scattered in all directions. As Christians, our purpose is not to simply follow the law. Our purpose is not just to have a good feeling in our hearts. Our purpose as Christians is to go out and proclaim that good news. And what's so easy about it is that it has transformed our lives. And it shows. And we're ready to proclaim it. That Christ has saved us. And we too can proclaim like John did as he saw Jesus coming by. "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.